Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is August 17th, a Tuesday.
Wow.
We're here with you once again, and we're on video today because we have a guest, and we want to showcase her to the world.
Yes.
And we'll get to her in just a few moments. How have you been, Jen?
I've been really great.
Yeah?
Yeah. How
Good,
about you?
Me too. We've been extremely great. Like there's shit going on in the world.
Yes, everything, so much shit.
Everything is happening right now. And earthquakes, fires, you know, everything else.
The world
all the politics,
melting.
COVID-19, and nothing is getting resolved here. And but we're doing great.
We're doing great.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with living in 2021.
I saw a meme that said it was these two guys talking, and the one guy said to the other guy, "This is the hottest summer." And the other guy goes, "This is actually the coldest summer of the rest of your life." So,
oh my God.
Here we go.
I know. Who wants to think about that, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
Man.
Well,
wow.
We got to think about it so we can actually do something.
I know.
If there's
man.
Anything to do.
Yeah,
at this
exactly.
Point.
There's nothing to do. You know, I mean, as far as us, the ordinary people, I don't know what we can do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, our leaders are not doing anything, so what are we going to do?
The leaders, the wealthy, nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Except like Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe.
Oh, yeah? What's he doing?
He does some climate change stuff.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
Well, that doesn't help very much,
yeah.
Right? He hasn't accomplished a lot.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
I do have an announcement, though.
Yeah.
I just produced a very short film. It's a Black Swan spoof called The Swan Walks at Midnight. It just released on Back Row Studios on Instagram today.
Really?
Yeah.
Are
it's
you
only
in
about
it or you produced it?
I produced it, yeah.
Oh,
but
I
see. I've acted in this production company's films before.
I see.
So the creator and director is Joe Clark. He's really, really awesome, and he always has an amazing crew. And Jessica New is in it, and I've worked with her a bunch before, and it's just always great. Yeah,
so
you
get credits for it.
Oh yeah, I have executive producer credit actually.
And how can we watch that?
Instagram, Back Row Studios.
Back Row Studios.
Back Row Studios. Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you go to my page, I posted it on my story. You
okay, I'll check
there.
It out. Is it like just something?
Very short. He works a lot with comedy,
mm-hmm.
So a lot of it's like really dry, kind of like yeah, I don't know how to explain
okay,
it.
Okay, well, we'll watch it.
He does mostly funny work, so it's a spoof on Black Swan.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's only about a minute long, but it's great.
Oh, a minute long. Okay,
it's like a minute
I can
or
handle
two.
That.
Yeah.
You know? Give me 5 minutes and I'm out of here.
It's good enough for the attention span.
All right, well, let's bring in our guest right now, and we'll talk about a lot of things.
Yes, welcome, Sharona.
Sharona Farhadian, right? Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, correct. Sharona Farhadian.
Awesome. Pull the mic towards you just a little bit. There you go. Now we
all
can
right,
hear you
guys
well.
Can hear me now?
We can
Perfect.
Hear you just fine.
Perfect.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me again. I
of
love
course.
Coming back on this show.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I get to be back.
I know. You were on the phone once, and then we wanted you here in person, and you came.
Yes.
And we appreciate that, you know?
Yes.
In these days, it's hard to go back to normal, you know,
right.
And do things that we used to do.
What is normal?
And, yeah, what is normal anymore? You know?
What is normal? Exactly.
And that's the thing, you know, people are saying, well, you better just get used to it. It's never going to be the same again. And I'm like, that's hard for me to digest, you know.
Yeah.
The things are just different.
Right.
They're not going to change.
Yeah,
that didn't happen with the pandemic, but it's not going away. We're just going to have to learn to live with it. You know,
we're all part of an epic time. We're part of the transition. New people who come into this may not even know the difference.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why, you know what, right now, I would definitely not bring a baby to the world. I don't know why people are, but it's like I mean,
Sam is funny.
All that working from home.
Bring babies so you could buy more houses.
Yeah, but the prospects are not that great, you know?
I mean, that's fair.
I don't know where we're going with
this.
It's a
crazy world.
It is a crazy world. Sharona is in real estate, and we'll get to that and everything. I just a little background on you first.
You
live here in the Valley, right?
Correct. I was born and raised in the Valley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In what
I
town?
Went to Granada Hills High School. My parents built their first home up on the hills in Granada Hills when there were like barely any homes around.
Wow.
Yeah. So I watched my mom build a home. It took 3 years. That was my first home. And then I grew up there, went to Granada Hills High, and then I moved out for real estate to Sherman Oaks 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've been living in Sherman Oaks since and specialized in the area.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a Valley girl, so yeah. I'm your Valley go-to girl. You want to buy or sell or invest in real estate? I'm your girl.
She's the girl.
I love it.
Yeah. And you went to CSUN as well, Cal State Northridge.
Yes, that's right. Sam and I, we both went to CSUN.
We both went and we both graduated in marketing, you know, which I remember talked about from last time.
Yes.
And so that's a pretty close thing. I mean, I wasn't born here, but I grew up here. I've lived here for 45 years, you know, so that's a long time. I call this home. Even
that's
though not
time.
Proudly, but I mean, the
but
Valley.
But you look young. You don't look like you lived here for 45 years.
Thank
Dan.
You. Well, I came here pretty young, you know. But no, at any rate, I was just talking to a friend and we were saying like how, you know, you get so used to the Valley that you forget there's other things that are much more beautiful. You know, the Valley is cool, but you know, I mean, look, there's things to do here, but it's nothing like when you go to Orange County or you go by the beach and things like that, or even in the city, you know.
Right.
So this is more like, has always been considered like a sleepy part of town, more for families
exactly.
and stuff, you know. But there's great things about it. I mean, one thing, you can pretty much always find parking. You know, there's parking lots everywhere.
That's you know? I live near Silver Lake, so I appreciate
exactly.
coming to the Valley.
Wow, that's like, the parking, I had no patience for it ever. I'd always go to the city to meet clients or to meet my friends. And I was like, how do people do this? I just can't do this. You go in circles looking for parking.
Exactly.
So
it's
I said,
crazy.
I'm going to live in the Valley. Yeah. Then I'll go out to the city for work.
Exactly.
And to meet up with friends. And,
and then to travel, you go out of town. And you enjoy Orange County and Santa Barbara and all these places, you know.
Yeah.
But we live close to things, you know.
Right.
And this, did you know that this Valley was really created after Hollywood sort of got crowded, and the people in Hollywood wanted like a new place to live away from the crowds, you know.
Oh, wow.
So they started San Fernando Valley, and you know, and before you knew it, it's huge, you know, and it's become a pretty famous part of LA. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody knows
like
the
Studio
Valley.
Studio City
but
is like very close to Hollywood. Studio City is like a good part of the Valley. A lot of the actors and writers come. It's just right down the hill, and you go up the hill, and you're in Hollywood.
Right, and you have Universal Studios right next door. So we're in the heart of Hollywood, pretty much. You know, as far as Hollywood really is a concept, because the place called Hollywood is not, it looks like a downtown.
I tried walking my dogs there the other night. I was like, I got to throw them in like a bleach bath. They're so dirty right now.
It's a gimmick there, you know, like all the stores that have all the things that you don't need.
Souvenirs and
yeah,
shit. Yeah,
like who needs all that?
Exactly. Right. And the Walk of Fame, which is,
it's tourist.
It's okay. Yeah, you see some stars and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
it's worth a walk by, but that's
about
it. Yeah.
But for people who don't know, Hollywood is more of a concept, you know. So even here is considered Hollywood in the Valley, even though we're not really
to out of towners.
But
there are beautiful homes though, like in West Hollywood and Fairfax area, and up in the hills.
Oh yeah, and it's very expensive there too because it's in the city, you know.
Everything in LA is expensive.
It really is, you know. And now the Valley, I mean, with the real estate and everything. And I gotta tell you, you know, I mean, right before January 2020, before the pandemic started and the lockdowns and everything. My mom passed, you know, so we had the house left, and I really wanted to buy it. You know, I told you about it. I wanted to buy the house, you know, for sentimental reasons, first of all. Yeah. And also it's a nice house, you know, a little out of the way, you know, in West Hills and stuff. But it was a nice place and I enjoyed it. But when the pandemic started, I thought, I don't want to invest in real estate. It's all probably going to crash. We never had anything like this before, you know?
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, everything went up through the roof now.
Totally.
You know? And not only here, but the rest of the country.
Sometimes I feel like my instincts are there to tell me to do the opposite.
Right, exactly. You know, and the same with investment, you know.
Yeah.
I told my friends, you know, we always make the wrong decisions. I told them we always have to do the opposite of what we think.
Right.
You know, and then we'll win, you know.
Intuition. You got to go with your intuition.
Yeah, you know, but what are you going to do, you know?
But don't
so,
feel bad, Sam. You're not the only one. There's so many people, same thing, you know.
I know. At least the upside was that we got a few offers and we sold them like, within days, you know.
And you were shocked probably.
Right.
And then you realized, wow, the market's really taking a big kick.
Really did, you know. And why do you think that happened? I mean, it's like, against logic, you know?
Right. So, I mean, several reasons. One thing is that obviously the interest rates were really low.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So lenders were like going, it was like crazy, you know. I mean, usually lenders come and ask me for business, but I had to go beg them to just do my clients' loans, you know.
Wow.
The other thing is during the pandemic, everybody was home. Right?
Yeah.
So now everyone's kind of back to work, or this summer, everyone's all pent up from not going on vacation last year. So they're all away this year. But last summer, people weren't on vacation. They were home. And so when you're in your own home and you're not busy out and about at work, it's your time where you're finally sitting down and thinking about what are all the things you wanted to do. Some people may have wanted to upsize. Some people may have wanted to downsize.
Right.
Some people are renting, and then they're getting all that money for the from the moratorium, and then they have a savings now. So lots of people had money for a down payment. And also, a lot of people were home thinking about changes, and that's the time where they have time now to sell or buy a home.
Right.
Whereas before, they were up on the run. And home now is like the most important thing people realize. Because they were doing everything from home, right?
Right.
Home was your office. Home was your vacation spot. Home was your kid's playground. Was your kid's school. So home became very important. And so many investors came out because they saw people needed places to rent. So that's when they came and invested their money in corporations and things like that. And they bought houses. And, you know, a lot of regular, ordinary buyers like yourselves and ourselves were competing up against investors and all-cash buyers. And
right.
Yeah. And it's still going on, you know, but we're kind of hitting a wall now and things are starting to, you know, the market's not as crazy as it was then.
Right.
So, you know, things might adjust a little bit because sellers have been a little bit greedy and now they want to like price it high, whereas before they price it lower and it would go higher. So you see a little bit of price reductions and things like that.
Right. Sorry, I was distracted because it just occurred to me maybe the audio wasn't working. We just checked the video.
You know? No.
But it is working, so we're fine. You see, it's just because when I do the video for my own show, I get like a million things to worry about, you know, and it's like,
it's a lot.
Because we usually don't do the video on my show, you know, or our show, sorry. But, so I just wanted to check it out.
You're the audio guy. When COVID first happened, the pandemic, I did this huge town hall community meeting where I talked about, you know, the homeless shelter, things like that. So I put my first Zoom together, invited everybody, and I had no idea that on the recording, if you put it on Facebook and I'm preparing and trying to get on, the people are already online.
They can see it.
Yeah, so everyone's like, Sharona, we can see you. I'm like, oh.
I know. Well, that's why I don't use Zoom anymore. We use something else for our shows. But it's, you know, when you don't know how something works, it can be embarrassing sometimes,
right,
you know.
Because usually you're maybe just speaking. You're not the audio person.
Exactly, you know. But then you're sitting there, people can see you setting it up and all that stuff, you know. I know.
It makes it more realistic.
I suppose so, yeah. But I prefer professional looking,
yes,
you know.
That's true.
Fair enough.
So those are good reasons why everything has gone up now. So that's why it went up in other states as well, right? And I hear now in Vegas is booming and everything.
Even
you know?
Vegas, Arizona, Texas. It's not just L.A.
Right.
It's everywhere. It's crazy, you know.
But what's happening? I mean, people are getting priced out of the market, right? I mean, it's kind of like losing hope they'll ever get a house.
It's tough
for
buyers, but things are going to change a little bit. You know, once they lift the moratorium and then, you know, there might be some foreclosures and forbearances, so sellers will be forced to sell.
Right.
And then there's going to be more inventory, and it's going to kind of level out. We're not going to have a crash like bigger than like maybe 5-10% like we did in 2007.
Right.
And the reason is loans aren't just being given out like that anymore. You know, people have more equity in their homes. They've had to put more down. They're so much more of a process to get qualified. So it's not going to be like 2007 because back then loans were just given out, you know, given away.
Right.
Right. That's and people true, yeah. can make the money because they could sell high and cover all their expenses from their forbearance too.
Right. Right. Wow.
Yeah. So when do you think coming up will be the best time to buy?
You know, that's a good question that everyone always asks me. What do I tell them? When you're ready, it's always a good time. There's never like a preferred bad or good time because you would think during the pandemic's not a good time, right? I thought I'm going to go bankrupt. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to find another career. And it was one of my best years. So it's never like the right, it's always the right time when you're ready, especially if you're going to live in this property. Because property, even if it goes down a little bit, which it barely will in LA, except maybe Palmdale, Lancaster, those areas, it's always going to go back up. So you're living there. You're not putting your money in the pocket of a landlord or another person. Mm. It's going towards your principal in your own pocket. So if it goes down a little bit, it's going to go back up. So it's really just when are you in a personal situation where you're ready to buy a home, and that's when you go for it. Mm. And if you could obviously get a loan or if you have the cash.
Right. Now, before we go on, tell people what company you're with and how they can find you. And we'll mention that again. But
right.
Just
so I'm Sharona Farhadian with Compass. Compass is a huge brokerage right now. It started in New York City. Now we're all over L.A. And now we have a few offices in the Valley. I've been doing this for 10 years now. I love what I do. And hopefully it shows in my work. And you can find me on Instagram. It's Sharona is the key. And you can also look me up on my website. It's SharonaIsTheKey.com. And again, it's Sharona Farhadian at Compass. And my number is 818-632-9990. And feel free to call me anytime if you just have questions. You know, I'm a real estate consultant, so I'm here to help you. You know, you don't have to be looking to buy or sell, and I'm here to help you out. So if you have any questions you have, I do free market evaluations for your home. I'm here for you.
Right. Are you able to help people who are not in this area too?
Yes, I could help. I mean, I've done Long Beach, I've done Redondo. I mean, I've done Valencia, the North Valley. Cool. So kind of all of LA County. Mm. I know a lot of agents in all areas. I am well known in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, all of the Valley, but I also have done a lot on the West Side. I've done a lot of different areas. And what's great about the brokerage that I'm with is we have connections with all the brokers all around. So as soon as I want something, I just ask them and they send me a property for a client or vice versa. They have clients for my sellers. So really, it's all in the skill of knowing how to negotiate and talk to people and the people you know. You could do any area.
Right. Very cool. How did you, so you went to school for marketing and everything, and then you started real estate. What were you doing before that?
Did you work at? So before that, I had a clothing boutique.
Oh.
Yeah. Here in Encino. It was called Touche. Uh-huh. And I would import, export. Actually, it was a great time. I would travel to Europe, import, export clothes from Europe out here in the Valley. And a lot of people, you know, knew us for that. So I was in a partnership with my mom and we actually sold and imported and had our own clothing line also that we sold in the shop.
Wow.
I love that. Do you still do anything with that?
I do love apparel and all of that. So I sometimes do like sell on the side, like I have the things that I made. So I do that. But, you know, it's really tough with real estate. You got to do it full time. So I'm so busy, you know.
Right.
That's kind of like a hobby of mine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Is the store still there? I mean, does your mom run it or something?
We sold it actually to someone. So this was actually in 2007 when the last crash. You know, we both had an intuition and we sensed that things are not going so well. And before everyone closed down, we were smart enough to actually sell our business.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's when I had my license, but I hadn't used it. And I said, you know what? I saw the broker, the girl who's a good friend of mine, came and sold my store for me. I said, I could do this. You know, I saw a lot in common with her. And I said, why don't I use my real estate license? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's but how- so you got it before you were going to actually go into it?
Yeah, I just had it. I had a friend, a good friend of mine. We used to go out and party together all the time. And she said, oh, let's go to Coldwell Banker has a real estate school. Let's just, back then it was in person. They didn't have them online.
Right.
This is maybe 15 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. And we went together and we sat in the school and we just got our license for fun. We're like, okay, here we have
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's I have a question. So after you got your license, how much did you remember from school versus how much did you have to like brush up on? Do you feel like you learned more in the field than you did from school kind of thing?
Oh, that's a great question. Definitely. Yeah. It's just like any school. School's great. It's the experience and everything. And you learn a lot of good facts. But applying it is totally different, you know. So there are laws and things like that, but you're gonna forget a lot of that, right? It's memorized.
Yeah.
So until I hands-on experience things, I'm learning every day. I'm still learning constantly, you know, and I love to be inspired and work with people that are even better than I am so I can learn from them.
Yeah.
So it's really out on the field through experience, and no escrow or deal is the same, no client is the same. So you really, to be a good real estate agent, you got to be you have to wear a lot of hats. You know, you're a therapist. You're a consultant.
Like a hairdresser.
Yeah, you're like, you have to make sure you look okay and presentable.
People spill it all out to you, huh?
Right. You need to just be very patient, but you got to love it to be able to do that.
That's true. You got to love that and people as
well.
You
know, if you have no interior design or you know construction, I mean, I have a whole Rolodex of people to refer to my clients if they need a plumber. You know, you're kind of like their concierge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, wow. Mm.
I was in real estate school in New York. That's why I ask.
Oh, you were? Oh, yeah. I just got back from New York. I love New York.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Our brokerage, Compass, is actually the headquarters is in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Did
where?
You like it?
I loved real estate school. I hated New York, though. And I was in real estate school when I happened to come out to L.A. for like a 5-week acting program. And then that's what made me decide to move here. So I just kind of left everything in New York in the dust.
Mm. Yeah, because L.A. is a lot better for acting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
New York is tough. It's hustle bustle. You got to really, you know, constantly. It can get exhausting.
Definitely.
After a while.
It's not the hustle of the business that's hard in New York. It's the hustle of like just surviving every day.
Right.
You know, like getting groceries is a hassle. You know, just walking down the street is a hassle. Like there's always things constantly getting in your way. So,
yeah.
I
left.
Especially like, with COVID, if you go there now on the streets with COVID, I mean, because everyone in New York's just walking past each other and the subway, thank God the vaccinations are out. But like, it's a whole different type of city than out here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people from New York have moved out to L.A.
Yeah.
Even though they say a lot of people from L.A. have moved out to Texas and Arizona and other places.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But people are always going to come to California because, you know, I mean,
the weather.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they may have ruined the state, but that's that's beside the point.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of great things in California.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
it's always been an attraction for people all over the world, you know, like you said, the weather and Hollywood.
It's just beautiful. And there's like so much to see. And like even driving down the 101 and seeing the Hollywood sign and like seeing houses on the hills and just like the different, like I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey, and every neighborhood had like 5 or 6 houses architecturally that they would just repeat and do like different colors of. So like,
oh, they were the same.
It was like 5 different models that would just repeat throughout the neighborhood.
Oh, so very cookie cutter.
Yeah. And so here you see all these different, like no two houses are the same, which I absolutely love. And you have like the Spanish style and you have like the tile and then you have
the
modern.
It's very
and,
eclectic in LA. That's funny. I was just in Jersey for my cousin's wedding actually for the first time. And we were at the country club there and we were driving at night like at 2-3 in the morning when the wedding was over, and there were like these deers that just walked by in front of our car and hang out in like someone's front yard, and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool.
It can be.
But those homes were very like similar, Cape Cod, and there was a time here in LA, they're kind of settling down on it, but everything was starting to be, any new construction was Cape Cod, you know, and now they're starting to mix it up. There's more modern, you know, traditional.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I love it. I just think there's so much to see, and like hiking and beach and
you
know, like everything.
It's like, it's really tough to not have that. It's comfortable.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I walk outside every day and I'm like, the air feels good.
Yeah.
You know,
even dating in LA is very eclectic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still better than New York, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. New York must be really bad then.
Yeah. New York.
Well, in her experience. Yeah.
Pretty much know. Everyone I know. Yeah, in New York is like. Yikes.
But funny. No, California, you know, we've got the coast. We've got, the mountains. I mean, you got everything here. Mm-hmm. You got desert. You got mountains. You got beach. Right. You got everything, you know. Right.
And then other areas are just an hour or two away. Like, we can go skiing in Big Bear.
In Big Bear.
Yeah.
Right. That's what's so convenient and great about here. So people may complain. Yeah, we have the funny stuff going on right now. But people still love it. They always come back.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. You know, and that's what I say. When people badmouth even the country, I'm like, well, look where everybody's coming to, you know? I mean, you know, look, did you see these Afghanis hanging onto the airplane?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that?
Wow. Yeah, they're really scared.
When was this? I didn't
They jumped on the airplane as it was going on the runway.
So I think what happened was American troops left Afghanistan and then the Taliban within like hours completely took over. And now they're back in full power of everywhere.
Right.
And so like women are fearing for their lives, men, children, everyone is completely terrified. And so when I think it was the Air Force that was leaving, they had this giant plane that was leaving and people were just hanging on to like the ladder.
Where was this? Which airport?
That's in Kabul, in Afghanistan.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
I know. So people were just hanging on to the airplane as it was taking off. I mean, this is like really scary, but
they didn't even care at that.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, people want to be in America no matter where they are, you know?
Right.
And then California, of course, you know, this is like an attraction. And I know people are moving away from here and everything. I probably would, too, if I could. You know, I don't hate L.A., but I've just been here too long. You know,
right.
I want something new. I
it's
want
good
something
to have a
different.
Change.
Yeah.
It gets to be saturated. Yeah. The only way I resolved that was by traveling.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're right. Because I don't know that I would really survive anywhere else. I mean, I would survive.
You'll survive,
but that's about it, you know. That's about it.
Yeah.
But you don't know if you'll enjoy yourself. You don't want to be surviving. You want to be
everywhere
it.
You go, people are telling you, well, the weather sucks here, the weather sucks there. You know, you want to go to Florida. Now they have like hurricanes and shit. And I'm like, you know, what the hell? You know, we'll just stay here, you know. You go. I mean, Haiti, they get earthquakes and hurricanes, you know? I mean, did you see that? Like, they had an earthquake the other day. Again, just after they had a hurricane, you know?
You remember the earthquake we had? When was it? 1994?
The Northridge earthquake.
We went to CSUN. Yeah? That was like, maybe were you there during that time?
No, not at that time.
The
I graduated.
The parking lot, smashed down.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that. Yeah.
My dad was here visiting his sister who lived here for like 30 years. And he slept through the whole thing.
Really?
He woke up and all the bookshelves were on the floor. Wow. And like the ceiling was cracked. And he was like, what the hell happened?
He's a deep sleeper. That was a big earthquake.
It was huge.
I even have a scar still from like a book falling off the shelf on me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I know. It really was. And I was, I don't remember, where was I? I don't even remember where I was. Oh, I'll tell you where. We had just moved to Vegas. I took my family, my kids, and my first wife, and we moved to Vegas. And that was like a week before the earthquake. And the interesting thing was that the freeway, the 14 freeway, broke in a certain area. And this is where I would drive every week to come visit them because I lived in Vegas for about 6 months without them because I got a job there. So I would come and visit them every weekend. And that's exactly where I would drive, you know. So just imagine it was like so close and yet so far, you know.
Wow.
So we didn't have to weather the earthquake, but then I came back and I saw all the damage and everything. And that was like terrible, you know. It really was. And
yeah, it was scary. I remember we moved out of our house. My parents had to. We moved. We rented a place for a year. They had to redo almost the whole house.
Yeah, yeah.
Until we could move back.
Yeah.
Lots of people. The schools were closed down. We were sleeping in our cars in a parking lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We'd go to the restroom outside.
Wow.
Yeah, we couldn't go into the house. Yeah. Yeah, it was a crazy time.
Yeah, I remember at the time we owned a nice townhouse in Chatsworth, you know, mm-hmm. Santa Susana Pass there in the mountains and everything. It was really nice, you know. Eventually we lost it because I didn't know how to manage money when I was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. So we had to give it back to the bank after I took an equity loan and everything. So I advise people against that. But that sucked, you know.
Mm, I imagine.
So, yeah. But so we had rented it at that time, and there was no damage, really. So we were lucky, you know. Mm. But I know a lot of people
if you're up on the hills, we were up on the hills. That's why. Yeah. Wow. But, you know, it's crazy. The pandemic didn't change the market. Even if we have another earthquake, God forbid, I'm telling you, if it changes maybe for a little bit and then it just goes back up. It's
right.
crazy. Usually after those kind of things, it goes like up really high.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm. That's why when people ask me, you know, like Jenny, you asked me when's a good time to buy. It's really never like a bad time. It's right. just when are you ready?
Exactly. Yeah. And depending what kind of deal you get on the house, of course, you know. Now, I would imagine in this area, there's not a lot of new construction, right? I mean, we're pretty much full. And so people go out of town a little bit for new houses, right?
Right. People might go a little bit in the outskirts. So a lot of people from the city now might be moving to the valley because they get more for their money, more land. They want a backyard. And a lot of people have moved like maybe to outskirts. You know, Long Beach has picked up like crazy.
Really?
Mm. Even the beach city like San Pedro. San mm-hmm. Pedro is starting to pick up. They're putting a downtown in San Pedro. I was showing a few properties to a client out there.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, really people are getting creative. And even for investment, people are buying just to rent out, you know. Because where else are you going to put your money? I mean, how long are you going to just put your money in stocks? Or I don't know if you guys do Bitcoins. That's a new thing. But, I mean, real estate.
I did. And then I sold it all. You know?
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Before it fell too much, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a game, you know, a gambling game. But real estate, if you hold on to it, it goes up, it goes down. If you're willing to lock in your money into something. You
know? Right. Mm. Exactly. And I mean, the chances of it going down too much are nil, right? I mean, always goes up. I mean, real estate doesn't really go down unless there's like a major thing or something, you know?
Yeah.
And you see, even a major thing didn't make it go down.
Right, exactly. And if it would have gone down, it would have just gone back up.
Right, exactly. So now, what is the lending rate now for people to get loans?
Now, we're kind of still back into the like maybe high twos and threes. So things have gone back down. Mm-hmm. Then it fluctuates maybe daily by like very small amount. Let's say if it's like 2.8, it goes to 2.9.
Right.
So for now, it's kind of remaining the same. Rates haven't really gone up yet. I'm sure they will gradually.
Right.
So we're just waiting to see what happens. You know, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't predict the future.
Right.
But I just don't see anything drastic happening anytime soon. And you know, if you guys are out there, I get this from a lot of buyers who regret it, like right when the pandemic happened and they said, we're going to wait.
Right.
But there's nothing to wait for, you know.
Right.
If you really want to buy a house, buy the house.
Mistake, you know. Now I'm constantly like,
I have actually
beating
the same,
myself up.
Yeah,
you know?
I did the same thing. You know, a lot of us have. I had a condo that I sold in January, which was even like maybe mid-pandemic. And I thought, okay, it's maybe going to change. Let me just sell it quickly. And right after January, things even got more higher.
Wow.
I could have made another $100,000 probably on my place.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, it happens to all of us, but that's timed over time. Now it's just happening very quickly in short spurts, but things change. So, you know, at the end you do that, but then you go tomorrow and you invest in something else and then you make the money back. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say somebody doesn't have a couple hundred grand or something to put down on a house.
Right.
Is there still a way to get into real estate? Like maybe things where you put a few buyers together or something, like, I don't know, or maybe just in commercial.
You mean like partner with investors?
Or something like that. Yeah. I mean, how could somebody get into, say, residential real estate if they can't afford an $800,000 house?
So that's a great question. A lot of people, so there's different type of loans. You could get a hard money loan, which is kind of like cash.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't lend you that, I know a lot of clients of mine who partner with people. You find investors, those investors come in, then they tell you your return on investment. Like when we, let's say, for example, they want to flip a home.
Right.
And we flip it, it's going to sell for this much. Here's your return on investment. We're going to give you this amount of interest.
Right.
So a lot of people, like hard money loans, are actually letting other people borrow money to do that.
I see.
Another thing is a lot of people, you know, first-time home buyers, young couples may borrow gift money from family or their parents, and they have a gift letter, and it's gift money that the family member is giving to them to get approved for a loan.
I see.
Yeah. There's a lot of great things going on right now, actually. Yeah. Another great thing, like another good reason, like let's say if you qualify, there's the Proposition 19 that just came out, and basically you can continuously keep your current tax base and have the option to move anywhere in California up to 3 times. So let's say if you bought a home 20 years ago, the tax base is much lower than what it is today. You could transfer that tax base over to the new house, and you could do it over 3 times.
Really?
So yeah, that's an advantage. Cool. A lot of people may say, I don't want to buy, I don't want to pay the tax. And then you also don't have to pay the tax on the sale.
Right.
So those are all great things. And if you guys have questions, you want to know if you qualify for it, just reach out to me and I could let you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of great options. You know, there's so many reasons to buy. There's so many reasons to sell, you know, and even for sellers right now, it's great because any buyer, because it's so competitive, is well qualified. You're not going to get buyers wasting your time because it's so competitive out there, you know.
Right, exactly.
Inventory is low, you know.
Right.
You can also go get something else and transfer your money over. You could do a 1031 exchange, you know.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard because, you know, you have so many offers on a house and you go and you put down an offer or something. And before you know it, it's already been sold to somebody else, you know, for more than they asked for.
Right.
This is not always
like it's a little bit leveling off now. But, you know, because now let's say a property that's worth, let's say, $1.3 million. Before, a seller would put it at $1 million, and then they get multiple offers, and they'd get the $1.3 million, right? Mm. Or maybe better. Because sellers think the market is crazy, they're making mistakes, and they're putting the property instead of at $1 million to get $1.3 million, let's say they put it at $1.5 million.
Right.
Right? And they're like, oh, let's be greedy. We want $1.5 million. But then they don't even get the $1.3 million.
So
that's what's happening. There's a little bit more price reductions right now because they're overpricing. They're not putting the right price. It's always better to underprice.
Right.
Because you're going to get the price. The market will determine the price of your home.
Right.
So you're going to see price reductions. So those ones may stay on the market. Then the buyer has the opportunity to come in and be like, hey, I want to buy this right now. Like a good deal is to buy something for the asking price. Like you say, hey, your house is not 1.5. I want to buy this for 1.3. You don't have any other offers. You were greedy. You put it too high.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. And so, then the people feel that they didn't sell it for a great deal or whatever.
Right.
But you're right.
But it is a great deal. If you look 6 months ago or 12 months ago, the comps,
this
is, you know, it's like people still, buyers are savvy. You know, they're not going to just come desperately, you know, also and just write any bogus offer on a property. You know, sometimes, yeah, it happens here and there.
Yeah.
But when you see those things, it's not because they wrote overweight asking prices. It's usually because that agent and the seller was smart. They priced it low so that they could get way over and attract more people. So it looks like, oh my God, this house sold for $300,000 more than it. Oh my God, this market's crazy.
Yeah.
But it was worth the $300,000 more. They just priced it low.
I see. So that's a good strategy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
it works. It's psychology.
Yeah.
And consumers want what everybody else wants, right? So when there's psychology. A bunch of offers.
Yeah. And it's amazing the prices we're talking about. You know, I mean, you go in other places in the country, you buy the same thing for a third of the price, you know, not even a half, you know. I mean, I was looking like at Zillow and in some other cities and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, it's a lot more affordable. I mean, here you really have to be pretty wealthy to be able to buy a house today.
Yes. It's tough.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are areas that are maybe a little bit more affordable. You know, there's Sun Valley or maybe Valencia. There's Rancho Cucamonga.
Well, that's far, you know. I mean, that's really far from the city.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, many people, you know, the Santa Clarita and like you said, Valencia, all these areas, they're nice areas, you know.
Right. Okay.
It's just you have to drive, you know.
Right. And, it's a distance.
So yeah. you have to, if you can manage to work there or at home,
right.
then it's a good idea, you know. You
right. don't have, I guess it depends
you don't
on
have
your
to
field.
Drive to L.A., yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you do all your life there, you know.
Right.
So,
And a lot of people are working virtually now and right. they got used to it. Who knows what's going to happen with that or with commercial real estate because so many right. office spaces are empty.
Right, mm. right.
So they might change that into housing, they're saying.
So, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Today with the moratorium, though, it's very hard for landlords, huh?
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the tough thing. And yeah. they extended it, so they keep saying they're going to lift the moratorium. And then now,
right.
you know, we're just waiting to see what happens.
Right.
So.
And it's always easy to go and help the small guy in something. But the landlords are like, they make the economy work, you know? It's not like, it's always like people have like this adversity towards... towards like
right.
people that like business people or like people that have money, you know, but they make the economy go, you know,
right.
and it's just like, yeah, it was a good idea for a year and a half maybe to let people not move out and everything, but people have stayed regardless, you know.
Right. By now,
yeah,
right.
you know, and it's yeah. and people are like without any income for many months, a
right.
couple of years maybe. On their property, and they have to pay mortgage still, but they don't get the rental from
right.
from their tenants.
Yeah, because right, they're getting all the government assistance.
Right.
So people are making more money staying at home rather
right.
than working.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's true. That's
it's
why people don't want to go back
a
to work.
Right. Dynamic or culture. So,
yeah.
you know.
I know. They're making a lot of mistakes, but then again, you know, how do you know how to behave during a pandemic? We never had it before.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think people are trying to push for minimum wage places to be, you know, for minimum wage to be more, you know.
Because, right.
I mean, the truth is nobody should be working 40 hours a week and struggling.
Yeah.
Right.
right.
No, that's true, you know. It's all supply and demand, though, you know. And that's the thing is that if people work for minimum wage and they want to make more, I think they also should pursue other ways to make more money. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody, whether the minimum wage is $10 or $15, I don't think anybody wants to stay in that situation, you know.
Of course, but some people yeah. might not be able to land those jobs because of either, you know, lack of opportunity or they can't afford school or they're, you know, they went to school and now they have a mountain of debt and
right.
a lot of places want you to have experience, but you don't have experience because you just spent the last 4 or 5 years in school, and there's a lot of circles you can run in with
right.
that
for
narrative.
The people who are trying, you run into those circles, but somehow this is also maybe pushing in people to be lazy. The ones who do have jobs, but
right.
just are getting paid.
They get a lot of
I agree with that.
They
yeah.
get a lot of unemployment, and but also, you know, you have to think of the business owners. You know, if they can't afford to pay that, they have to close. You know, so
right.
so that's the thing.
The owners
but,
are right.
Yeah.
paying for all this.
Yeah, exactly. Because
just like the landlords are paying for all.
Yeah,
because
people
know?
Look. Yeah,
it's
people
not
look
pro landlords. The state.
No,
right?
no, not at all.
They make it very difficult.
And plus, I think these are steps that were taken, just like the lockdown. For an emergency time. We're not in emergency right now. You know
right.
what I mean? Now we know what we're up against. We know what to do. Emergency measures are not necessary anymore.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
So I don't know. I think that's why businesses are still closed. They're not picking up or anything. Mm. Because, like you said, people don't want to work.
Yeah,
or they right. make too little money or whatever, you
it's
know?
It's discouraging.
Yeah,
you know?
It really
it's,
is.
Right.
It really
sad.
Is.
God.
And if you're making around the same amount from unemployment that you were
right.
working so many hours, I mean, of course they're going to stay home.
Right.
right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's encouraging that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
you
not
know.
Even healthy for people to be staying home that much, honestly.
No, it's
no,
not.
It's not.
You know? And it's terrible for the economy where you always hit the business owners, you know, and the landlords and everything,
right.
you know. It's just like because you're hurting those that are making the economy run and move, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. But we're almost out of time. Sharona Faradian, again, tell people how they can find you.
Thank you. So you can find me on Instagram. It's Sharona is the key. I'm also on Facebook And Sharona Farhadian is my first name is Sharona, last name Farhadian. My work with Compass the Brokerage. I'm a full-time residential realtor. And you can also look me up on my website, SharonaIsTheKey.com. And my phone number is 818-632-9990. And I'm here for you. Whatever you need, just give me a call. And I'm excited. I love doing this. So I Sounds hope good. To see you guys all again soon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, how long did it take you to study real estate for the exam?
That took me, oh my gosh, it was so long ago. Yeah. I was talking to my friend today that we did that together. It was maybe took us 2 months where we took the courses and then we took the final exam.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Yeah. I mean, for what you stand to make, you know. But I would imagine you start from scratch and it's hard to find clients and things like that.
Yes, it's definitely not an easy thing. I did not start with family and friends. So I did start from scratch. Mm. I decided I'm not going to work with my Middle Eastern family in the beginning.
That's going to hit him up for
I had a manager and he advised me of that. So
good, good.
It gets complicated, yeah, I imagine.
Don't alienate your family.
First,
you know?
You got to earn their respect. Right. Then they won't take advantage of you. So it was tough. You know, I was a hustler. I was, you know, I had energy. You know, I still have energy, but I have more energy then. And I would go to open houses and I work really well with people and, you know, I love people. So in person, I'd meet people and, you know, I started, you know, getting clients through that way. Or I specialize in a certain neighborhood in Sherman Oaks where I would actually go knock on the doors, not just mail things, say hello. And I never asked for business when I knocked on doors ever for 7 years straight. I would go pound the cement and I would always offer an event. I was either giving them a food drive bag to donate where homeless shelter to Hope of the Valley. I've been doing that for 8 years. I would give them a free gift card. I do a raffle for like, let's say Christmas. I would do a Valentine's Day dinner. And this September, I'm actually doing an ice cream for Labor Day. I bring an ice cream truck as a tradition of mine in the neighborhood. Wow. And all the kids and families come and we have ice cream. So, a lot of community stuff, a lot of marketing and things like that. Gradually, it's not something like right there. Someone comes and eats an ice cream and says, hey, I want to sell my house. It's just over time building relationships and things like that.
Right.
So it is challenging and you need to have a lot of patience and you need to enjoy doing those type of things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sharona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sam.
You're full of information,
of course,
and you really helped out, I'm sure, some people. You helped me understand real estate a little better.
Good. Thank you.
And thank you. So you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you, everybody. So I'll see you all soon.
Yeah. Jen, thank you for joining me
Thanks,
always.
Sam. It's my pleasure.
We're going back to our wonderful lives after the show.
Yes.
And everybody, thank you all for listening and for watching. Bye. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.